And I'd like to have approval of the minutes of April 7, 2006. Minutes, do I have a motion or something?
So moved.
Thank you. Representative Susan Morgan has moved the approval in the minutes we have of April 7, 2006. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Approved. Receipt of reports, consent agenda. Senator Gordley, please.
Thank you, Mr.
Just Peter.
Co-chair. And good morning. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board approve, in bloc, the following 10 agency reports as described in the Legislative Fiscal Office analysis. Item number 17, Department of Human Services, acknowledge receipt of a report on implementing the Medicare Part D prescription drug benefit as requested by the legislature. Item number 27, Department of Justice, acknowledge receipt of a report on the current status and legal costs in protecting the revenue stream generated by the terms of the master settlement agreement with tobacco companies. Item number 33, Department of State Police, acknowledge receipt of a report on the number of vacant and double-filled positions and the agency's financial status. Item number 44, Parks and Recreations Department, acknowledge receipt of a report on a strategic plan to guide the acquisition of new properties as required by budget notes in House Bill 5139. Item number 46, Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, acknowledge receipt of a report required by budget note on efforts to streamline the agency's organizational structure. Item number 60, Department of Administrative Services, acknowledge receipt of a report on the status of the computing and networking infrastructure consolidation project. Item number 63, Legislative Administration Committee, acknowledge receipt of a report on the status of the legislative bill drafting system. And that concludes the recommendations, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Senator Gordley. Any discussion? Any objections? Submission of federal grant application, Representative Barker, please.
The Department of Education removed to approve retroactively the submission of a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Education in the amount of $1.2 million for an enhanced assessment grant.
All right. Any discussion? Recognize. Ken Rocco, please.
Mr. Chair, I'd like for the record to note on item number 54 in the grant report, analysis that you received says that the grants for the Department of Consumer and Business Services are up to $1 million. Actually, we have found that it's up to $4 million. So we just wanted to correct that for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Rocco. Discussion. Objection. Submission of federal grants. Applications approved. Item number one, Department of Education. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board defer the request and establish a reservation in the General Purpose Emergency Fund of $3,009,549. The agency may return to the September 2006 Emergency Board meeting and request that reservation. The Early Intervention, Early Childhood Special Education Program serves children with disabilities and their families. The objective of the program is improving developmental status and increasing school readiness for each child. The emergency or early intervention portion of the program serves children from birth through age 2 and is state mandated. The early childhood special education component serves children from age 3 until the age at which schooling begins, usually age 4 or 5, and is federally mandated. The Department of Education contracts with education service districts to provide these services. Traditionally, caseloads grew steadily about 5 to 6% per year until 2002-2003. In that year, caseloads only grew 2%, and caseloads actually dropped 0.3% in 2003-2004. During the 2003-2005 biennium, the agency did not request any of the $6.5 million special purpose appropriation that had been set aside for caseload growth. This was due to the smaller than expected caseloads and an unanticipated increase in federal funding. During the 2005 legislative sessions, cases were predicted to increase at about 2% per year. There was $4.9 million established in a special purpose appropriation for increases in caseloads. The legislature approved a budget note that directed the agency report to the emergency board with updates on caseload data and federal funding available for the program. The agency made a request and was granted the entire $4.9 million special purpose appropriation at the October 2005 meeting of the emergency board. At that time, they presented data showing caseload projections that increased by 765 cases, 9.4% in 2005-2006, and 785 cases, 9.4%, in 2006-2007 over the caseloads that had been anticipated in the legislatively adopted budget. It should be noted that the 2004-2005 actual caseloads were also updated at that time. Given that they were substantially higher than the budgeted projections, the effective increases between 2004-2005 caseloads and the current bienniums are about 4.5% per year. The increases were due in part to greater efforts to identify eligible children and the agency's work with providers after the declining growth in the previous biennium. The department explained that the $4.9 million would not cover the entire need given the new caseload data and returned to a later emergency board meeting with updates on caseload data and available federal funding. Updated caseload projections now show an increase from October projections by 43 cases for 2005-2006 and 261 cases for 2006-2007. The department has determined that the federal funds projections that were used during October are still valid and have not changed them. The current funding level is $6,858 per case. Over the course of the 2005-2007 biennium, that is $165 less than the funding per case for the 2003-2005 biennium. The requested amount would bring the funding back up to the 2003-2005 level. The department has worked with the providers to improve efficiencies. This has included increasing technology to cut down on paperwork, better collaboration between the staff, community agencies, and securing outside funding when available. They have also identified potential efficiency measures. The improved efficiencies have kept costs down, but not enough to cover the increased caseload. The current balance of the general purpose of the emergency fund is approximately $17 million. There will be about $11 million left for the final two emergency board meetings, if all the current requests are approved. There are a number of outstanding issues, including potential fire costs, lawsuits, and other agency needs that could easily deplete the general purpose emergency fund. By waiting until September, there will be a much better idea of the true cost of timing of these issues, and they can be weighed against the need to fund this program. The Education Subcommittee recommends your approval. Mr. Chairman, if you would like me to repeat any of that, I would be glad to.
Are you through, Senator Deb?
Yes.
Who wrote that pony? Is there any discussion of what we just heard about by Senator Deb? Is there any objections? Item number 3.
Oh.
Department of Education, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on the assessment of the cost effectiveness of alternative funding models for the Oregon School for the Blind and the Oregon School for the Deaf. The 2005 legislature included the following budget note in budget report for the Department of Education. The Department of Education is directed to provide a report to the Interim Senate and House Education Committees as well as the Emergency Board during the 2005-2007 on the cost effectiveness of transferring the program at the Oregon School for the Blind to the Oregon School for the Deaf campus. The review shall include the cost effectiveness of contracting out of the two programs to a local education agency. The department convened a series of meetings to discuss the issues identified in the budget note. Membership on the committee includes parents, educators, consultants, and legislators, Senator Whitsitt and Senator Winters. The report lists a set of 11 values that the committee used to establish context for their recommendations. They range from high-quality services and staff to accountability and outcome measures. The recommendations included moving the Oregon School for the Blind to the Oregon School for the Deaf campus, provided it a cost-efficient and programs would be maintained. They are also suggesting changes to the mission statements of both schools. The final section of the report covers concerns the committee has over potential changes for the programs. These range from maintaining a statewide focus of service provided at the schools to recognition that some of the changes may have a significant upfront cost but will pay for themselves over time. The report has given the superintendent of public the report has been given to the superintendent of public instruction. She will then use the information to decide what, if any, of the recommendation will be included in the agency's budget for 2007-2009. Timing of the budget process may prevent the agency from including the recommendations in their requested budget. However, they plan on returning to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee in the fall with a detailed implementation plan in the committee. Had previously indicated a willingness to consider introducing legislation if needed. The Education Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Thank you, Senator Devin. Is there any objection to what we just heard by Senator Devin? The item is approved. Item number four. Is there anybody else on this subcommittee? Senator Devlin.
I'm just about done, Mr. Chairman. The Education Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on the educational needs of youth served by the Youth Corrections Education Program. The 2005 legislature included the following budget note in the budget report for the Department of Education's operations and grant and aid budget. The Department of Education is directed to work with the Oregon Youth Authority regarding the educational, including post-secondary needs of youth served through the Youth Corrections Education Program by taking the following actions and reporting recommendations to the State Board of Education, the Emergency Board, and the Interim House and Senate Education Committees by April 2006. Activities include securing information from a represented stakeholder group interested in working in the area of youth corrections, and two, recommending funding options to address educational services for incarcerated youth who are between the ages of 19 and 25 and have already achieved a regular high school diploma. The YCEP task force was created and has members from the Department of Education, Community College, Workforce Development, and the Oregon Youth Authority. There are also members of the State Advisory Council for Special Education and YCEP contractors. The report contains background information, including a discussion on the 170 students that are currently are either ages 19 through 25 and have already attained a high school diploma or are 21 through 25 and have not received a high school diploma. All of these students are included in the YCEP program and generate state school fund revenue at a 2.0 average daily membership ADM. The task force has made some preliminary recommendation because these recommendations have potential impact on several agencies. It is expected that the recommendations will be shared with the governing boards of the affected agencies. Once decisions are made on the proper way to proceed, agencies will include budget packages in their requested budget. Those packages will then be reviewed by the governor and legislature for potential implementation in the 2007-2009 biennium. There are six recommendations included in this report. The report suggests that since services are to be provided to youth no longer eligible for a fully funded public education, perhaps funding for services should not be funded through state school fund revenues. The rest of the recommendations focus on better collaboration between the agencies themselves and the agencies and service providers. There are also recommendations on maximizing efficiencies and reducing duplication amongst the group. The Education Subcommittee acknowledges receipt of the report. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Devin. Discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a recommendation that since I was looking over this report, that since Senator Devin has two more, that the Ways and Means people will have to take those ponies and shorten them from the ones he just gotten through with.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Carter, my committee has 17 reports to deliver.
All right. Okay, is there any discussion? Any objection?
Would you talk to Representative Barker? He didn't think his pony was long enough to read this item. He really didn't. He's up here bobbing Karen, Wayne, and I. Would you check it out? I don't know what he did or didn't do, but I hope we're fine. Otherwise, we'll have to go back, and that pony's a couple, 3 pages. I mean it. He just showed me these 3 pages. So are we all right, Representative Barker's pony that he read or didn't read?
Mr. Chair, it did sound a little short to me. So we might have to go back and just have him read it.
I can do it real quick.
Not now. You're not doing it now. Please. I want to try a new personality and see what happens. Item number 5, part of his, Senator Frank Morris, Beaver.
Yay, go
Beaver. He didn't get to the team ahead of time to lock it in dugout. I did yesterday. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board allocate $153,961 from the Special Purpose Appropriation to the Emergency Board for local option equalization grants for the 2005-2006 fiscal year. The 2005 legislature set aside $800,000 in a general fund special purpose appropriation for the cost of local option equalization grants. They also appropriated $400,000 to the agency as part of their legislatively adopted budget. The local option equalization count was established to help fund school districts that pass a local option property tax but have assessed values per student less than the 75th percentile. The grants are designed to bring the school district up to the same funding level as the 75th percentile level. If voters approve a local option during a biennium, the eligible district does not receive a grant payment until the subsequent biennium. The department now has 2005-2006 school year data available. The following list, the school districts and the amounts they are due. Oakland School District, $19,567. Colton School District, $48,410. Hood River County School District, $384,069. Pendleton School District, $101,915. Since the agency already had $400,000 in their budget, they are only requesting $153,961 at this time. The department usually makes the payments of the grants in the spring of each year. They have already distributed the $400,000 and will make supplemental payments to distribute the $153,961 if it is approved. They will return to a future meeting of the Emergency Board to request the funds needed for the 2006-2007 school year. If there are not sufficient funds to provide 100% funding, the available funds are distributed on a pro rata basis. Mr. Chairman, the Education Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator Frank Morris. Discussion? Objection? Item is approved. Should we now go back to...
That would be fine, Mr. Chair.
All right. We're going to go back to submission of federal grant applications, correct?
Yes.
Now, we have discussed and approved this item, so I simply ask him to put on the record a statement, an explanation statement. Is that correct?
Why don't you make a motion to reconsider the previous vote?
A motion to reconsider the vote by which we approved submission of federal grant application has just been made by Senator Margaret Carter. Is there any objection? It's approved. Mike, does that put us back on record to deal with his pony?
Yes.
Okay. I now recognize Representative Barker to read his pony.
I'm going to read it shortly here.
Just please.
The Human Services Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board approve in block the following 7 requests for approval to apply for federal grants as described in the Legislative Fiscal Office Analysis. Item number 2, Department of Education. Item number 12, Department of Human Services. Item number 13, Department of Human Services. Item number 16, Department of Human Services. Item number 21, Department of Human Services. Item number 35, Economic and Community Development Department. Item 51, Department of Transportation. Item 51, Department of Transportation. Item 52, Department of Transportation. Item 53, Department of Transportation. Item 54, Department of Consumer and Business Services. The subcommittee's recommendation is made with the understanding that, if the funds are awarded, the agency shall return to the Emergency Board or the Legislative Assembly for approval of any necessary federal funds or federal as other funds expenditure limitation and position authority.
Thank you, Representative Barker. It's the discussion. Objection. The item is approved. We now go to item number 6. Department of Education recognizes Senator Frank Morris.
The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the federal funds expenditure limitation by $19,317,695 for updated revenue projections and request that the Department of Administrative Services unschedule $5,138,381 for those expenditure limitations that have lower revenue projections. The Department of Education administers about 80 federal grants. During the 2005 legislative session, they projected anticipated revenues, and the legislature approved expenditure limitation according to those projections. Revenues and expenditures are monitored throughout the course of the biennium. This request allows the agency's budget to have updated expenditure limitations based on the latest revenue projections. The largest increase of $12,600,000 is in the Vocational Professional Technical Program. During the budget process, Congress had indicated that the Perkins grant funding for this program would not continue past the 2005-2006 fiscal year. Therefore, the agency only built in 1 year of funding for the legislatively adopted budget. Congress recently funded the Perkins programs, which requires the second year of funding to be added to the agency's budget. The changes in federal funds expenditure limitation are: Department of Operations, a net increase of $1,003,248 is recommended. It is about a 2% increase, with the largest change being an increase in funding for administration of the vocational education program of about $1.6 million. Special Schools, there is an additional $129,258 available for the State School for the Blind and the State School for the Deaf. Youth Corrections Education Program, a reduction of $163,021 can be primarily attributed to a reduction in to Individuals with Disability Education Act funding. IDEA, revenues are expected to be lower by $4,943,246 million, or about 2%, due to flat funding by Congress. Title I-A grants to local educational agencies. Revenues are projected to be increased by $2,223,039, or 0.9%, from the adopted budget. Title I-C migrant education. Latest projections show a slight increase of $32,114 from the $25.6 million budget. Title II-A teacher quality. Revenues are now expected to be slightly higher by $104,765, or 0.2%. Vocational education. As mentioned previously, an increase of $12,602,716 is needed in this program due to an unexpected funding by Congress for the second year. All other federal programs. This expenditure limitation covers the rest of the department's federally funded grant and aid programs. The net increase is $3,254,669, or about 3.4%. The subcommittee recommends that the net reductions to the youth corrections education, Individuals with Disability Education Act, and Title I-C migrant education are requested to be unscheduled by the Department of Administrative Services. Mr. President, the Education Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? I approve item number 7, Secretary of State, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board allocate $364,794 from the Special Purpose Appropriation to the Emergency Board for the reimbursement costs associated with the 2006 primary election voters pamphlet. The 2005 legislature set aside $1 million in a special purpose appropriation to the Emergency Board for the costs of both the primary and general election voters pamphlets. This request covers only the costs of the primary election voters pamphlet. The Secretary of State will return at a later date to request the funds for the general election voters pamphlet. The Secretary of State is responsible for the printing and distribution of the state voters pamphlet. The original request was an estimate of the costs the agency would incur. Since that time, they have received all the invoices and have finalized the actual cost. They are asking for a reimbursement of $176,292 for printing costs, $153,253 for printing costs,
$9,856 for shipping and handling and $25,393 for costs of the temporary employees. The General Government Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Discussion? Senator Abel Gordley, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair. While we're on the subject of the voters pamphlet and seeing Ken Murphy in the back of the room, Ken Murphy, the director of the Office of Emergency Management, leads me to ask the question that I've been wondering about and have posed to the Secretary of State's office. How might we accomplish including basic emergency preparedness information in the Oregon voters pamphlet?
That's a great idea.
And so I'm asking if that could be pursued with the Secretary of State, if Mr. Murphy is willing to take that on. Thank you.
Discussion further?
Great idea.
Objections? Item is approved. Item number 9, Department of Higher Education, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board establish a $7.390 million other funds capital construction expenditure limitation for the Hayward Field Improvement Project at the University of Oregon. The university is scheduled to host the 2008 U.S. Olympic track and field team trials, which are scheduled to begin in June of 2008. They will draw approximately 1,000 athletes, 1,000 media personnel, and 300 officials to the campus, with daily attendance projected to be in the 14,000 to 16,000 range. The project, the projected components include lighting improvements, a video replay board, a sound system, renovation of the infield, resurfacing of the track, and renovations of the operations booth, media area, and staging and ticketing areas. The total projected cost will be $7.39 million and would be funded entirely by gifts. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval of the request to allow the project to be completed in time for the 2008 Olympic trials.
Thank you. Discussion? Objection? Item is approved. Item number 10, Department of Higher Education, Representative Scott.
The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board transfer $305,000 from the Other Funds Capital Construction expenditure limitation established for the University of Oregon Herb Memorial Union International Area Renovation to Other Funds Capital Construction Article 11F1 Bonds expenditure limitation established for the same project. Last session, the legislature approved $1.134 million capital construction project to create an integrated international center in the Herb Memorial at the University of Oregon. This will allow the university to renovate a portion of the student union to improve the function of the space, in particular, portion of the student union that is designated for international student groups. And the offices were done back in the 70s and earlier in the 50s from a renovation. The project was approved with financing of $500,000 of Article 11F1 bonds and $634,000 in gifts. The gifts have fallen short, however, and the department is requesting authority upon recommendation of the University of Oregon Student Building Fee Advisory Committee to issue an additional $305,000 of Article 11F1 bonds to offset the shortfall in gift funds. The additional bonds would allow design and construction to begin immediately and avoid increased costs. Debt service on the bonds will be paid from student building fee revenues. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Discussion? Are you here for this, Representative Barnhart? Is that what you're here for? All right. Discussion? Objections? I didn't have to recognize you, you know. That was a matter of courtesy and deference to you. You could be grateful.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, you
don't be so courteous, Mr. Chairman.
I think you're right. You could sit down, but I didn't ask you to stand up. I just wanted to know that I didn't have to do that.
You're
sort of embarrassed.
Party.
All right. Item number 11, Department of Higher Education, Senator Frank Morris, please.
He's Irish.
The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds capital construction or other revenues, including federal funds, expenditure limitation established for the University of Oregon School of Music additions and alterations project by $2 million. In 2001, the Legislative Assembly approved a $15.2 million capital construction project to add 29,000 gross square feet to the School of Music building at the University of Oregon and to renovate approximately 15,000 gross square feet of the building's existing space. The project was approved to be financed by Article 11G bonds matched by gift funds. The cost to complete the project, however, is now estimated to total $17.2 million. The $2 million increase over the original cost is a result of higher than anticipated construction costs and a construction delay. Construction costs have been affected by sharp increases in materials costs, particularly of steel. The project was also delayed by approximately 18 months, thereby further increasing costs because it took longer to raise the required $7.6 million of matching funds than initially planned. Construction will now begin this fall. The university cannot complete the proposed renovations within the existing budget. The requested $2 million increase would allow them to do so. The additional $2 million would be financed entirely by gifts. There would be no impact on the general fund or the university's debt load. Mr. Chairman, the Education Subcommittee recommends approval of the request so that needed renovations can be completed.
Thank you. Discussion? Objection. Item number 14, Department of Human Services. Speaker, co-chair, representative, all things representative, speaker, minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on changes to the children's mental health system and direct VHS to return to the Emergency Board in November with another progress report. The 2003 Legislative Assembly directed the Department of Human Services to make extensive changes to the children's mental health system. The 2005 Legislature continued to take an active interest in changes to the children's mental health system and instructed DHS to report on its efforts and to implement those changes by June 30, 2006. The DHS report lists 13 tasks the department has undertaken to move the Children's System to Change Initiative, or CSCI, forward. These tasks include adopting a statewide mental health needs assessment instrument, modifying contracts with mental health organizations, establishing working agreements with staff from the child welfare, juvenile justice, and education systems, monitoring of systems expenditures to ensure that children's mental health funds were used to provide services to children rather than partially subsidize adult services, contracting with Portland State University to evaluate the implementation of CSCI. Of particular importance are two overarching charges to the children's mental health system: one, improving the coordination of care of children with mental disorders by restructuring the reimbursement system and by facilitating linkages between a variety of service systems and the organizations that provide services to children and families, and two, changing the role of families of children with mental illness. In the past, these families were often viewed as exacerbating or even causing a child's illness. Now they are being included as one of the main partners in stabilizing a child and helping him or her recover. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report because Portland State University will be nearly finished with its evaluation of the CSCI. We further recommend that DHS be directed to return to the Emergency Board with a progress report in November, and I'd like to compliment Representative Hannah, who did a stellar job chairing the subcommittee yesterday.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Item is approved. Item number 13, Department of Human Services. Representative Hannah, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on actions to improve Oregon State Hospital patient safety and care. In January, the Emergency Board approved a request from the Department of Human Services to allocate $9.3 million from the Emergency Fund and increase the agency's federal fund expenditure limitation by $3 million to take three important steps to improve Oregon State Hospital patient safety and care. These actions include: undertake a capital construction project to remodel the sixth floor of the Oregon State Hospital facility in Portland, hire 30 additional clinical staff at the Oregon State Hospital, and develop 71 additional community-based residential placements. This will require four additional Office of Mental Health and Addiction staff. DHS reports that the architectural firm it hired is on schedule to complete construction documents that are necessary for the public bidding process to obtain a construction contractor. The firm expects to complete the documents by July 23rd. Construction is scheduled to begin in October with a mid-March 07 completion date. The department reports that it has hired 16 of the 30 new clinical staff positions. Work is on development of the 72 new community placements. 30 of them will be supported or semi-independent housing with intensive case management, and the remaining 41 placements are expected to be in residential settings to meet the needs of patients under the Psychiatric Security Review Board. To help with this work, DHS has hired 4 new staff with funds that were explicitly requested at the January meeting of the Emergency Board. The subcommittee questioned the department about the recent news that the U.S. Department of Justice had informed Oregon's Attorney General of its intention to investigate practices at the Oregon State Hospital. This news is very important, and the subcommittee members requested additional information from DHS. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report. DHS states that it plans to return the Emergency Board in September with another progress report, including the requested information regarding the U.S. Department of Justice investigation of OSH.
Thank you. Discussion?
Mr. Co-Chair?
Senator Gordley, please.
Thank you. I'd just like to put on record that one of the things we heard from the department is that working conditions and low pay continue to be barriers to hiring, to the hiring that we need to accomplish and to help us move forward. And so as an e-board, we need to stay on top of this issue and this challenge because, in fact, it's the Achilles heel to our overall efforts. Thank you.
Senator Gordley, for discussion.
Yes.
Senator Carter, please.
I would like to say in my committee on oversight, that was one of the issues as well in across the system, but especially at the hospital, having lost about 8 people over there. So it's something that, and I'm speaking, Mr. President, I think.
And your committee is being, the committee you're referencing, which is Human Resources Overview Committee of the Interim. Sorry. Okay. Further discussion? Objections. The item is approved. Item 18, Department of Human Services. Senator Gordley, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board approve retroactively the submission of a Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development grant application in the amount of $1,373,293 to expand housing assistance to post-incarcerated low-income persons living with HIV or AIDS. The grant application was due June 13th, and DHS complied with the Emergency Board procedures by notifying legislative leadership of its intention to apply on April 19th. The grant requires no state matching funds, and DHS indicates that no additional positions or FTE will be needed to provide grant services. DHS will review the need for additional expenditure limitation to accommodate grant expenditures and request limitation if necessary at a future emergency board meeting. Oregon currently receives funding from 3 housing opportunities for persons with AIDS grants. One of them ends on July 31, 2006. Clients served with those grant funds will be served using funding for one of the other 2 grants. The grant for which DHS is seeking approval to apply would serve 47 and 55 households in the first and second years of the grant, respectively. DHS expects that 90% of the funding would be used to provide rental subsidies. Adequate housing for HIV or AIDS clients provides the stability needed to acquire physical and mental health treatment, as well as access to a supportive network of caregivers, factors that help persons maintain their health and reduce long-term costs. Researchers point out that persons with HIV or AIDS are typically at higher risk for losing their housing because of increased medical cost or a compromised ability to work given their medical conditions. Grant funding could lower that risk for 55 Oregon households for at least the next 3 years. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval of the request.
Thank you. Discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Crook, please.
I'm going to be a no on this because of the principle of approval means that we, the legislative body, by approving this retroactively, give tacit approval to the subversion of our constitutionally mandated process of oversight. The principle of agencies going forward and filing for these grants and then coming back and asking, in the words of the old saying, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission, I think is improper, and I don't think that we should approve this based on that. If you're not aware of it, you can't get your applications in a timely manner, then you just lose out. So I'm a no.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to add for the record that there are currently no targeted resources for post-incarcerated persons with HIV/AIDS available in the Portland metropolitan area. No services. So, in fact, this allows us to put sorely needed services in place. Thank you.
Further discussion? Any objections? We'll note for the record, Representative Crump is a no. Other objections? Item is approved. Item number 19, Department of Human Services. Representative Barker, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge a receipt of a report on the Oregon Health Plan managed care enrollment. The budget report for House Bill 5023 encouraged the Department of Human Services to pursue strategies that would increase the percentage of Oregon Health Plan managed care clients to 80% during the 2005-07 biennium as directed DHS to report to the Emergency Board on those strategies by June 30, 2006. DHS reports that over the last 3 years, from March 2003 to March 2006, OHP managed care enrollment increased from 57.7% to 74.2%. Dental care organization enrollment increased from 69.2% to 93.5%. Most of the increase, however, took place during the 2003-05 biennium and is attributed to the implementation of auto-enrollment, or managed care enrollment among OHP standard clients, and managed care plan expansion. Today, DHS is using or proposing to use four main strategies to increase enrollment even more. One, expand auto-enrollment in services areas where sufficient managed care plan capacity exists, but clients are not today required to enroll and continue to work with field staff to decrease the use of enrollment exemptions. Two, open the managed care to additional physician care organizations in areas where fully capitated health plans are absent or have limited presence. Three, engage legislators in geographic areas identified as resistant to managed care. Four, begin statewide solicitation of fully capitated health plans and dental care plans every 4 years with targeted start dates of January 2007 and 2008. For dental care plans and fully capitated health plans, respectively. The last strategy, statewide solicitation of new plans, has raised concerns on the part of some of the current managed care organizations. Still, this strategy, if properly managed, may be a reasonable way to further increase managed care enrollment. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends acknowledging the receipt of this report.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. We go to item number 20, Department of Human Services. Senator Gordley, please.
Thank you again, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board approve retroactively the submission of a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in an amount up to $400,000 per year for 5 years to improve child welfare program outcomes through improved collaborations with instructions. The Department of Human Services is seeking grant funds that will support system changes to improve the safety and self-sufficiency of dual-system families served by the Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, or TANF, and Child Welfare Program. The grant application has four main objectives: improve collaboration between the TANF and child welfare systems, better integrate the existing data systems for self-sufficiency and child welfare services, increase training and cross-training to TANF, child welfare and family support and connections program staff, evaluate process performance measures and high-level service outcomes. DHS expects to hire one full-time, limited-duration program coordinator for the grant. DHS will contract for the information technology work, training, and evaluation services. The grant requires a 10% match, which can be provided with in-kind resources or cash. DHS is talking with Portland State University and the Commission on Children and Families about providing all or part of this match. If these or other partners cannot identify enough match, DHS might need to commit general fund resources towards the match requirement. The subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board approve the grant application with instructions to DHS to confirm the commitment of the $44,000 in annual match if the grant is awarded and when DHS returns to the Emergency Board for expenditure limitation and position authority.
Thank you, Senator Garland. Discussion.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'll be voting no for the same reason. Thank you.
The reason being we didn't oversight?
Correct.
I have a solution for that, you know.
And what would that be, sir? More meetings?
At the legislature in the building every year. Any further discussion? The objections. Representative Krupp is a no vote. Are there other no votes? The item is approved. We go to item number 22, Department of Human Services. Representative Hannah, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on cash flow and financial management. The budget report for HB 5077 directed the Department of Human Services and the Department of Administrative Services to consider various alternatives to alleviate cash flow problems and to report to the Emergency Board by June 2006. Since the time the budget note was written, DHS has had financial difficulties. The 03-05 expenditures were ultimately higher than expected. As a result, the agency could not revert to the general fund. Most of the $78 million general fund appropriation meant to temporarily cover cash flow problems late in the 03-05 biennium. This, along with projected deficit in the 05-07 biennium, and a critical Secretary of State financial audit required action. Dr. Bruce Goldberg, the director of DHS, requested DAS to review DHS's accounting and budget processes, internal controls, banking, and cash flow management. DAS completed its work by the end of May, and a plan was drafted to implement improvements at DHS. Among the planned activities is the formation of a working capital committee that will investigate possible solutions to the DHS cash flow problems. The subcommittee heard extensive testimony about the DHS cash flow situation and also the efforts to improve the financial management of the agency. A significant part of those efforts to improve has been established in a variety of advisory and work groups, including groups to assist with caseload forecasting, financial accountability, and agency staff training. These groups include legislators, DAS and LFO staff, private sector finance and management experts, as well as DHS employees. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report. DHS also indicates that it intends to present a progress report to the Emergency Board in September.
Thank you. Discussion. Representative Morgan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just want to express my appreciation to DHS for the great work that they've done on this project. The Speaker of the House gave Representative Richardson and myself the ability to sit in on those meetings and watch that process take place, and I think both of us have been very impressed with the thoroughness with which the review was conducted and also with the clarity and purposefulness that the progress to the to solution has been put in place. And my hope and my wish is that the process of establishing that business and accountability side to the agency will proceed as the program dictates and stay on track and on time. And I really do salute the group of folks from DAS and Treasury and within DHS that put all that together.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Very quickly.
Representative Smith, please.
Thank you, Chair Courtney. I'd like to echo the comments of Representative Morgan. I've had an opportunity to look through this report, and I compliment the entire team on their analysis, the review, and the potential recommendations that they've come up with. I think they've done a good job for the citizens of Oregon.
Thank you. Further discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item number 23, Department of Human Services. Senator Gordley, please.
Thank you. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on services for children with developmental disabilities. The budget report for House Bill 5148 directed the Department of Human Services, in collaboration with the Oregon Council on Developmental Disabilities, to convene a work group to review services for children with disabilities. DHS presented a report at the April meeting of the Emergency Board that discussed the formation of the work group and the five main issues the group was analyzing. The Emergency Board acknowledged receipt of that report and asked DHS to return in June with an update on the work group's activities. The DHS report indicates that the work group is continuing to focus on five main issues: eligibility for services for children with both developmental disabilities and mental illness, children with juvenile justice system involvement, medically involved children and the development of Medicaid waivers that would help fund services, children who live in nursing homes, and the family support program. Along with the DHS report, the subcommittee received supplemental information from Catherine White, a member of the Oregon Council on Developmental Disabilities and the work group. And I should note that Ms. White was also commended for her work over the past two decades on these issues. The report indicates that final findings and recommendations will be presented to the 2007 Legislative Assembly. Mr. Co-Chair, your Human Services Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. We go to item number 24, Department of Human Services and State Commission on Children and Families. Senator Gordley, please.
The Human Services Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on the Department of Human Services and Commission on Children and Families review and recommendations for increased community-based delivery of services. In response to a 2005 budget note, the Department and the Commission have been working with the Senate Bill 555 Partners for Children and Families Work Group to review and make recommendations to increase community-based delivery of social services. The agency's report details a broad range of activities that are underway to help improve local delivery of services, including work in the areas of mental health, alcohol and drug prevention treatment, early childhood, homeless and runaway youth, and community learning centers. It notes that the work done to date has helped to better leverage resources and streamline processes. However, the work is still in its early stages. The agencies expect to provide a follow-up report to the Emergency Board at its November-December 2006 meeting that details more specific outcomes, findings, recommendations, and potential legislative proposals. And that concludes the report.
Thank you. Discussion? Objection? We go to item 25, Department of Human Services and Oregon Student Assistance Commission. Representative Hanna, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a program regarding underutilization of individual education accounts in the Jobs Plus program. The Department of Human Services and the Oregon Student Assistance Commission reported to the Emergency Board in April 2006 on the use of individual education accounts by Jobs Plus program participants. At that time, the Emergency Board members suggested the agencies take several additional actions to help market the program to those who have established IEAs but not yet used them. The suggestions included contacting employers and education providers and expanding the interagency work group looking at the program to include members with marketing expertise. The agencies reported that they recently completed a number of informational mailings to program participants, employers, and education providers. The work group is also being expanded and will produce a final report with findings and recommendations by the time of the Emergency Board's November-December meeting. It was noted that the small amount of funding available in individual IEAs might not be a sufficient incentive for participants to use the accounts, and that the legislature might need to consider restructuring the program to significantly improve utilization.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Item number 26, the Long-Term Care Ombudsman. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board approve the upward reclassification of two positions and increase the other fund expenditure limitation by $20,747. The reclassifications and the expenditure limitations are needed in response to the impact of the Department of Administrative Services Administrative Classification Study. Current biennium funding for the request will be provided by the agency's other fund cash balance. The subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Senator Gorelick, please.
I'd just like to acknowledge our LFO staff on this particular item. It was murky, and I thought she did a great job of helping us unpackage the issues. Thank you, Deborah.
Other discussions? Objections? Item number 28, Department of Justice, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Education Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report from the Department of Justice on the use of staff added during the 2005 legislative session for the Tobacco Tax Compliance Task Force, and request the Department of Administrative Services to reschedule $175,000 other funds expenditure limitation for this program. During the final days of the 05 session, the legislature added back $350,000 other funds and two limited duration positions for the Tobacco Tax Compliance Task Force activities to complete pending and initiate new cases of persons who evade taxes and sales of tobacco products. At that time, the legislature instructed the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule $175,000 of these additional funds until the agency made a report to the Emergency Board on the number, description, outcome, and amount recovered for each case or enforcement actions undertaken with this additional staff. Nine specific cases so far this biennium have identified where at least one of the two positions played the major role in developing and pursuing the case, which should result in up to $563,000 of additional tobacco tax revenue. In addition, one of the DOJ staff had a nationwide effort, led a nationwide effort to persuade large credit card companies to not process sales over the internet without transmitting to the state federally required information on each transaction. As a result, the operator of the three largest websites selling to Oregonians provided transaction-related information to the Department of Revenue, resulting in over $680,000 in additional revenues through April 30th. Your subcommittee recommends acknowledgement of the report.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item number 29, Department of Justice, Senator Morris, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Education Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board increase the federal funds expenditure limitation by $175,000, increase the FTE on two limited duration positions by 0.77 FTE, and approve the submission of a federal grant application for the third year of funding for the Crime Victims' Rights Compliance Project Grant. The Department of Justice has been awarded a grant of $175,000 from the U.S. Department of Justice for funding the second year of the Crime Victims' Related Grant. The purpose of this project is to promote compliance and enforcement of existing victims' rights laws through training, education, and public outreach. The second year of the grant funding will be used to promote coordination and collaboration of victim services agencies, the courts, district attorneys, the Department of Justice, and other criminal justice agencies. The Department of Justice is also requesting authority to apply for funding for the third year of the project later in this biennium. If the agency successfully completes the work required for the second year's funding, the U.S. Department of Justice will make the third year's funding available to the Department of Justice for the project. If this third year grant is awarded, expenditure limitation and position authority may be addressed by the 2007 legislature. Mr. President, your subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Item is approved. Item number 30, Department of Justice. Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Education Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board increase the federal funds expenditure limitation by $337,500 and increase the FTE for two limited duration positions by 1.0 FTE for the Internet Crimes Against Children grant. The Department of Justice has been awarded a grant of $450,000 from the U.S. Department of Justice's Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, so the Department of Justice may continue to participate in a task force with over 115 local, state, federal, and tribal governmental law enforcement agencies across the state. The task force is designed to provide training and public outreach as well as to investigate, prosecute, and coordinate efforts of law enforcement agencies in pursuing crimes related to Internet child pornography. This grant will be used to continue funding a criminal investigator position and a computer forensic specialist position, as well as to provide legal services to the task force for the remainder of the biennium. While the total grant is $450,000, the Department of Justice plans to spend only $337,500 of the total amount in the current biennium, with the remainder scheduled to be spent in the 2007-2009 biennium. Your subcommittee recommends approval.
You, Grace. Yeah.
Anna. Thank you. Are you still reading?
No, Mr. Chairman. Apologize for the shortness of that.
Discussion. Objections? Item is approved. Number 31, Military Department, recognized Representative Scott, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Education Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board approve the sale of 1.9 acres of the state of Oregon real property in Medford to the Walmart Corporation at a compensation level equal to the property's market value. The subcommittee further recommends that and other funds capital construction limitation of $850,000 be established, with the understanding that the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule the limitation less the actual cost of the architectural and engineering contract pending the award of the construction contract.
That's it. I did my poll.
The military department owns 7.65 acres of the real property inside the Medford city limits. In 2004, Walmart entered into a discussion with the department and the county to purchase it and have agreed to approximately $850,000 in cash for the acreage. Jackson County has agreed to the sale and has offered to provide the department with an additional 0.45 acres adjacent to the armory at no cost and without a reversion clause. The county has stipulated that its approval is contingent upon using the proceeds of the sale to improve the Medford Armory and maintenance facilities. The subcommittee stated that it would like the department to negotiate a higher price for the 1.9 acres if possible. If approved, the emergency board, the limitation will expire at the end of the current biennium and will not extend the normal 6-year time frame for a capital construction project. If the project completion extends beyond June 30th, 2007, the department will be required to seek limitation for any remaining construction costs during the 07 legislative session. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Discussion? Any objections? Item approved. Military Department, number 32, Senator Morris, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board establish an other funds capital construction limitation of $342,000 for the Baker City Armory for the completion phase of the project, with the understanding that the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule the remaining balance of the 2000 biennium other funds capital construction limitation, which should be at least $340,000. Beginning in 1999, the military department received emergency board approval to design and construct the $7.5 million replacement armory readiness center in Baker City. To complete the project, a county-owned building must be demolished, an expanded parking facility be built in its place, and miscellaneous site and interior work finished. An unanticipated delay in vacating the county building has meant that this work will not be done by August 2006, which is when the balance of the project's current other funds limitations expires. The establishment of a new other funds capital construction limitation is necessary in order to complete the project. The department will use $242,000 of the remaining Baker County contribution of $900,000 and approximately $100,000 remaining of the $2.5 million certificate of participation issuance to complete the project. If this request is approved, the limitation established by the emergency board will expire at the end of the current biennium. If the project's completion extends beyond June 30, 2007, the department will be required to seek limitation for any remaining construction costs during the 2007 legislative session. Mr. President, the Education Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item number 34, Department of State Police. Senator Morris, please.
Mr. President, the Education Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board allocate $90,000 from the Emergency Fund for the development of a coordinated crisis communications plan for responding to major incidents and disasters, and increase the federal fund's expenditure limitation by $932,639 for federal grant funds received since 2000. The Oregon State Police requested an almost $93,000 for a limited duration position to develop a crisis communications plan and a comprehensive public outreach and education campaign. After discussion with the governor's office and other parties, the need for additional resources for the development of a crisis communications plan was verified. The state requires a coordinated plan to avoid multiple and varying responses from state agencies and local jurisdictions. The subcommittee recommends an allocation of $90,000 primarily to prepare the crisis communications plan. The agency can determine the best approach to develop the plan, either by contracting with an expert in formulating these types of communication plans or by hiring a limited duration position authorized by the Department of Administrative Services. The plan should address at least how individual state agencies communicate with the media and the public, how multiple state agencies coordinate their responses, and how the state coordinates with local governments. If funding is available, the agency may also begin work on the public outreach and education campaign. As part of the subcommittee recommendation, the agency is instructed to return to the appropriate policy committees and the Ways and Means Committee during the 2007 legislature and report on the development of the plan to that point. The agency will need to request resources in the 2007-2009 budget to meet the long-term needs outlined in the plan. The subcommittee also recommends an increase in the federal funds expenditure limitation to spend National Criminal History Improvement Program's grant funds already received by the agency. These funds are used to protect and ensure the integrity of the state's criminal history data used by the criminal justice system in Oregon and across the nation. The 2005 legislature did increase the federal funds limitation, but the agency now estimates it requires an additional $932,639 in limitation to match the available revenue. Mr. President, we recommend approval.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. We go to number item 26, the Employment Department. I recognize Senator Gordon, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The subcommittee recommends that the emergency board approve retroactively the submission of a federal grant application to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency on behalf of the Employment Department in the amount of $96,000 to support the Eco-Healthy Child Care and Tiny Footprints programs administered by the Oregon Environmental Council with the following stipulations. If the grant is awarded, the Employment Department will return to either the Emergency Board or the Joint Committee on Ways and Means to request expenditure limitation for passing any awarded grant funds to the Oregon Environmental Council, even if the Employment Department has sufficient unused federal funds expenditure limitation. If the grant is awarded and when the Employment Department requests additional expenditure limitation, the agency will provide a report describing how the funding will be used by the Oregon Environmental Council, including any positions that will be established and what information is anticipated to be provided to the public regarding the establishment of toxin-free child care environments. That concludes the report.
Thank you. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I'm a no.
Okay. Representative Morgan, I recognize you and the Representative Krupp if you're in her statement as well. Representative Morgan, please.
Mr. Co-Chair, I have a long history of working with the Oregon Environmental Council, and it has been much less than what I would characterize as a stellar relationship. I have very strong misgivings about the council's ability to present factual and unbiased information relating to herbicides and pesticides. I also have very grave reservations about their ability to actually deliver on any kind of an agreement that's made. And I also have misgivings about the Employment Department's ability to, because of their lack of expertise in this area, to oversee whether the information that actually gets displayed on the website is factual and unbiased. And for that reason, I'm a no vote on this.
Thank you. Representative Krupp, do you wish to enter a statement or just say, you might say you're a no, do you? So, Representative Smith, please.
If I vote yes on this, I will not be allowed back in Monroe County. Therefore, I will be a no vote.
So you're a no vote?
I'm a no vote.
Okay. Further discussion? All right. Let me see if I do this right. The objections, Representative Smith is a no. Representative Krupp is a no. Representative Morgan is a no. Representative Hanna is a no. Are there any more no's? Are you getting all this, please? I didn't want to. All right. I believe that gives us a majority, though. We're okay, right? I believe we're okay. Is that correct, Mr. Rocco?
Yes, the motion passed with those recorded no votes.
Thank you. Motion passes. Recorded no votes have been recorded. Item number 37. The Department of Veterans Affairs. Senator Carter, please.
General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on the public hearing and final rules of distribution of funds to counties and the results of a workshop formed to analyze the possible duplication of services to veterans in Multnomah County. Senate Bill 1100 was part of a package of legislation adopted by the 05 Legislative Assembly for Veterans and Members of the Armed Services. It directed the Director of Veterans Affairs to establish a program to enhance and expand the services provided by the county veterans service officers. $2.6 million was appropriated to the department for this purpose. A temporary rule and formula for distribution of the funds was adopted and reported to the Emergency Board in January. The formula did not provide a pro rata distribution to Multnomah County because many national service offices have offices in the federal building in Portland and are available to Multnomah County veterans. Because of this, the Emergency Board then directed the department to engage a work group to analyze the perceived or real duplication of services in Multnomah County and to report back to the Emergency Board on the results of that workshop and the final rule. A public hearing on a draft final rule was held, and the department contracted with an independent facilitator for the work group. It was the consensus of the work group that some duplication of services to veterans exists in Multnomah County. The final rule subsequently was filed on June 16th. Future distributors may change as a result of the final rule. The distributions, Mr. Chairman, excuse me. The Department of Veterans Affairs has complied with the directions of the Emergency Board, and the General Government Subcommittee recommends approval. Mr. Chairman, may I also say that for all of you who think this issue is not coming back, we will see this issue again next session.
Thank you. Discussion. Representative Boone, please.
I just want to applaud Representative Carter for calling our attention to that, and we will be revisiting it.
Senator.
Thank you.
Senator, I'm sorry. Senator.
You called a representative?
I did.
Well, she's deeply hurt.
Thinking of the old days.
Okay.
I was there.
Sure, now I have to go therapy. Okay. Further discussion, please.
She is still there.
Without, is there any objections? Item is approved. Item number 338, Department of Agriculture. Senator Carter, again.
Thank you, Mr. President. The subcommittee recommends that the emergency board increase the federal funds expenditure limitation by $675,719 for additional funding made available to the animal health programs and approve the establishment of two full-time limited duration positions, 0.76 FTE. This increase is necessary to allow ODA to expand additional federal resources not anticipated in the 05-07 legislatively approved budget. The increased federal revenue is for John's disease control, general foreign animal disease control, and to address potential outbreaks of avian flu. ODA is also requesting the establishment of two limited duration positions to work as animal health technicians conducting avian flu surveillance, tracking, testing, and outreach. The General Government Committee recommends approval of the request.
Thank you. Discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I think this is very appropriate given that we have suspected strains of H5N1 in Canada. And, in fact, in about 8 minutes, Mr. Chairman, I'll be leaving momentarily from the meeting to start a national teleconference call of experts, public health, on this very issue to try to ready ourselves in eventuality when this bird flu, avian flu, comes to America. So this is a timely request, and I'm glad that we're moving forward in this direction.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Gordley, please.
One of the things that I remain concerned about, and this falls under the category of emergency preparedness and being prepared for public health challenges. We still do not have a campaign, and I'm placing emphasis on the word campaign, a statewide campaign to educate, inform, deliver information to every Oregonian to help them get prepared in the event of a pandemic, flu, or any other disaster for that matter. And again, I'm placing emphasis on the word campaign, education campaign, that says to all Oregonians on a given day, this is the day that you focus on preparedness activities, and every Oregonian focus on preparedness activities. Until we have a campaign that educates our citizens, I'm going to remain concerned, and I think that we all should. I respect that we have many professionals on the public health side and also on the emergency management side doing some things to try to get things on a track. But the sense of urgency and, again, a focused campaign, I don't see it yet.
Thank you, Senator. Can you just ask, Ken, where was the item that we talked about, Speaker and I, regarding the emergency management position? Where is that here?
Mr. Chair, that was already done. It was item number
I thought
34.
Doesn't that speak to some of the things that Senator Gordley is speaking to as well as Representative Covey? If they're absolutely right, this thing is very terribly serious. But I thought that, just let me ask, because I'm not doing too well here. Isn't that, it's my understanding, isn't speaking to some of those concerns?
Mr. Chair, yes, you're correct. Item number 34 was...
You may all know that, but that's, Speaker and I, we discussed this initial Lee Board agenda. We heard tons of this, and so I'm hoping that we're starting to move in your direction. You're suggesting Senator Gordley and Representative Krupp. Of course, you will, in 8 minutes, be going into even a more national approach. Yes, Senator Carter, you've been trying to get...
I've been trying to tell you that your committee that you appointed on emergency preparedness is sending a letter to the government, to the governor, speaking to this issue, and that the data is not all in yet, and I promise you that once this committee is through with its work, that we are advocating a letter to the governor, regarding a statewide campaign on these issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Carter just spoke. She just disciplined me. Senator Gordley, please.
I, too, serve on that emergency preparedness committee, and I'm very much aware of the position that is coming up that we're going to be talking about. But again, legislative committees move slowly. That's my concern. And again, a plan for a campaign has not been presented to us, and so I'm just asking us to flag this and to keep our feet to the fire. Thank you.
If I could, Mr. Chair, I think there's also a reorganization going on within the executive branch, mm-hmm. where to kind of put this function. And so I think that's kind of slowed up some of the focus as well. So I think there's reorganization at the executive branch. We are trying to get our arms around that at the legislative branch. And you're right, we need to pick up the pace.
So the thing that stays in my mind is the federal report that came out just recently that pointed out that most of our states are unprepared, mm-hmm. and that when you look at the list, Oregon is one of the states that's most unprepared. So, again, that's what's behind my urgency. Thank you.
Further discussion. Representative Boone, please.
As the third member of that committee, I would like to offer some solace to you, Senator, and Senator Carter, too. So you just look so young. I think of you as the representative I knew when I first came to the building.
Yeah. I look so young?
No.
Anyway, as I was saying,
you must have
the meeting of the full committee, Joint Committee on Emergency Preparedness, will be meeting July 25th, and I think that's the meeting where we'll hear when the reports will be coming out, because all the subcommittees are now wrapping up, and that's one of the last actions. So, and we are working closely with Ken Murphy and some others in all of the state, you know, all over state government to coordinate everything so we're not all going in different directions. So I'm hopeful we'll have something by the end of the summer, and hopefully the tsunami doesn't come before that.
Further discussion? Objections? Item approved. Item number 39, Department of Forestry. Representative Smith.
The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on the Harvest and Habitat Model Project. The Department reports the final Harvest and Habitat Model Project report was presented to the Oregon Board of Forestry at their March 8, 2006 meeting. The report models four alternatives using habitat conservation strategies, take avoidance strategies for threatened and endangered species, and a wood emphasis strategy and a reserve-based strategy. The results of the modeling are summarized in the final report. The department's harvest activity level for fiscal year 2005 for the Elliott, Clatsop, and Tillamook State Forests was 247 million board feet. The approved sale plan volume for fiscal year 2006 is 246 million board feet. Harvest levels are currently planned to be 197 million board feet in fiscal year 2007. The lower sale plan volumes are a result of the latest harvest and habitat model project projections completed in March of 2006. This will result in approximately $13.5 million less in revenue than fiscal year 2006. The subcommittee discussed the need for the Board of Forestry to carefully review implementation plans in consideration of the commitments made to counties and industries for higher harvest levels. Your General Government Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Discussion. Objections. I am approved. Item number 40, Department of Forestry. Senator Carter.
The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on the 2006 Fire Season Severity Plan. The Department of Forestry has submitted a report for its plan for deployment of additional wildlife fire suppression resources to address severe fire conditions and to manage an air tanker program for the season as required by the legislature through a Senate Bill 5612 budget note. According to ODF's plan, additional resources such as air tankers, helicopters, heavy equipment, engine crews, and fire line hand crews will be used to supplement budgeted capacity as conditions warrant. Components of the plan include awareness and education, meteorology and fire intelligence monitoring, strategic procurement and positioning of resources, including helicopters, hand crews, engines, large air tankers, and a lead plan, and close communication and coordination with federal wildland firefighting partners for use and placement of severity resources to avoid duplication of effort and cost. Total potential cost of $1.9 million. Financial resources for the potential cost of the 2006 fire season severity plan total $1.5 million, resulting in a potential deficit of $383,148. Actual use of medium helicopters, hand crews, and ODF engines will determine the actual amount of expenditures necessary. The general government subcommittee recommends acknowledgement and receipt of this report.
Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Number 41, item number 41, Department of Forestry, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds expenditure limitation by $32.1 million for the Protection from Fire Program, with the understanding that DAS will unschedule the expenditure limitation until forestry demonstrates an actual need for the additional limitation. The legislature approved a budget of $53 million in total other funds expenditure limitation for protection from fire in the 05-07 biennium. The 05 fire season resulted in 27 significant fires and deployment of incident management teams to four fires in southern Oregon. While acreage burned was just over 50% of the 10-year average, extraordinary fire costs to date total over $21 million. Normal fire protection operating expenses through April 2006 total $21.8 million. As a result, the protection from fire budget is 82% expended, leaving a balance of approximately $9.7 million for the remainder of the biennium. Based on a five-year average of fire expenses, a shortfall of $32.1 million is currently being projected through the end of the biennium. Your General Government Subcommittee recommends approval with the understanding that the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule the expenditure limitation.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Items approved. Item 42, Department of Land Conservation Development, Administrative Services and Justice. Senator Westland, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board allocate $283,430 to the Department of Administrative Services from the Emergency Fund, allocate $2,173,141 to the Department of Land Conservation and Development from the Emergency Fund, approve the establishment of seven limited duration positions, 3.42 FTE, and request the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule $621,534 general fund until the need for the legal expenses is demonstrated to the Department of Administrative Services and the Legislative Fiscal Office. The increase the other fund's expenditure limitation for the Department of Justice by $1,233,654. Approve the establishment of 11 limited duration positions, 5.5 FTE, and request the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule $621,534 of the limited duration increase until the need for the legal expenses is demonstrated to the Department of Administrative Services and LFO. In 2004, voters passed Ballot Measure 37, which requires compensation to landowners whose property values are negatively impacted by land use laws or regulations and who file claims with the appropriate government unit. The choice for the governmental unit is to pay claims an amount equal to the loss in value due to the land use law or to not apply the restricting law. Claims arising from land use laws enacted prior to December 2004 must be filed by December 2006. Due to the increased volume of claims filed, the Department of Administrative Services, Department of Land Conservation and Development, and Department of Justice are jointly seeking additional funding to handle their proportion of the claims process and those processing costs. Overall, the three agencies are requesting a total of $2.7 million general fund from the General Purpose Emergency Fund, an increase of $1.2 million in other funds expenditure limitation, and a total of 18 full-time limited duration positions, 8.92 FTE. The limited history to base workload projects and their
limited history to base workload projects, and it is difficult to project the time spent on each potential case, given that the legal issues addressed in each case can vary. There are still major policy issues related to Measure 37 to be addressed and are likely to be decided by the courts. As cases are decided by the courts, major legal issues will be settled and fewer challenges to the state's decision on claims in the future will be made. Your General Government Subcommittee recommends approval of the motion.
Thank you. Discussion? Representative Scott, please.
Mr. Co-Chair, I would like to declare a potential conflict of interest in that I have filed a Measure 37 claim.
Okay. It's on the record. Thank you. Representative Morgan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The subcommittee yesterday spent significant amount of time discussing this, and it is, I think, an issue that is going to be of ongoing concern to particularly the fiscal side of state government as we watch how these claims move through the system and how the litigation moves through the system. So I would caution everybody to just kind of keep one eye on this one, because I think we're far from out the other side of paying the cost of processing.
Thank you. Representative Smith, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, I just want to point out that this $1.2 million is nothing more than dollars for legal assistance just to get the process going in the filing of briefs. And I guess I'd send the message to all Oregonians, it's about to get very expensive for the state of Oregon.
Thank you. For discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item 43, Parks and Recreation Department. Representative Boone, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends acknowledge receipt of a report on the state fair program. The Parks and Recreation Department submitted a report for its strategic planning efforts for the Oregon State Fair. The department reported meetings were held with business leaders about the possibilities for an annual fair that reflects the changing demographics and interests of the citizens of Oregon. Overall themes that emerged from the conversations included high expectations that the fair should have a strong fiscal management and clear accountability, that it should be for and about Oregon, that it should be more inclusive of regions of the state, that it have a greater educational role for youth and adults, and that it continue its traditional ties to agriculture as well as expand its connection to industry, manufacturing, cultural heritage, history, and resources within Oregon. As a result of these meetings, a business plan is now being developed to clarify the mission and business objectives of the state, annual state fair and usage of fairgrounds between annual state fairs. Adoption of the business plan for the fair by the Oregon Parks and Recreation Commission is planned for November 2006. Your General Government Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of this report.
Thank you. Discussion? Objection? Item is approved. Item 45, Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. Representative Morgan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The subcommittee recommends that the emergency board increase the lottery funds expenditure limitation for the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board by $401,335 for two research projects by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and Oregon State University, and increase the other funds expenditure limitation for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife by $257,387 to accommodate the increased research funding. The $401,335 lottery funds for the grants is from the Restoration and Protection Research Fund. The monies in the fund are statutorily dedicated to fund research activities related to the restoration and protection of native salmonid populations and watersheds. OWEB's 0507 legislatively adopted budget did not include any expenditure limitation for new grants from the research fund, with the expectation that OEB would request expenditure limitation from the e-board for any grants approved. The first research grant approved by OEB is for the continuation of a genetic pedigree research project that began in 2002. The study uses genetic analysis of smolts leaving and adults returning to the Kalapuya River system to evaluate the effects of hatchery fish on naturally spawning populations and to determine the success rates of hatchery hatchery fish released into the wild. The second grant approved by OEB is for research equipment needed at the Oregon Hatchery Research Center. ODFW and OSU will provide $94,000 in matching funds toward the purchase of this equipment. Your General Government Subcommittee recommends approval of the request.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item 48, Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. Representative Morgan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Kocha. The subcommittee recommends that the emergency board increase the lottery funds expenditure limitation by $2,211,391, with the understanding that the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule $1,143,000 across the proposals until Fisher's participation in the employment opportunities makes expenditures of these funds likely. The expenditure limitation increase will be used to create employment opportunities for fishers affected by the closure of most commercial salmon fishing along much of the Oregon coast. This closure was caused by a forecast of significant declines in Klamath River Basin Chinook salmon stocks. OEB has designated 5 programmatic changes targeted at providing fishers employment opportunities, such as conducting oceanic research on salmon stocks, implementing additional on-the-ground restoration projects, and assisting recovery planning efforts for sensitive salmonid stocks. Monies would also go for technical assistance to accelerate identification and design of needed restoration, enhancement, inventory, and assessment projects. This would add to the potential number of projects available to be completed using Fisher work crews during the rest of the biennium. The subcommittee also recommends that OEB report to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means during the 2007 legislative session on the results of these expenditures, such as the number of employment days provided to fishers. Your General Government Subcommittee recommends approval of the request.
Thank you. Is the discussion? Yes. Senator Frank Marsh, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I got a question. If this is directed specifically to employees within that fishing industry that's affected, how do you target this employment to them specifically without violating employment laws?
Could we have staff come forward and discuss that issue?
And I don't mind helping out either, ma'am.
Sure. Staff is approaching.
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Morse, honestly, I'm not sure how to answer your question. The discussion didn't come up in subcommittee. I know that they are working with the Salmon Commission to identify fishermen that would be eligible and interested in these employment opportunities, but I'm not aware of any employment laws that would prohibit kind of the exclusive targeting of a particular group of individuals. It's certainly something that we'll have to look at.
Senator Carter, you wish to say something?
Yes. Yesterday it was noted that the Department of Agriculture in some work in the past had worked through these issues and knows how to get this done so that it is within the framework of, like, soft money, that the money is given from the state through the Salmon Commission and that people are then work through the Salmon Commission for what they do. But the Department of Agriculture has worked through this before, and they didn't have a problem then.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Representative Smith, please.
Thank you. What's a fisher?
A what?
Someone who fishes.
A fisher. A non-gender identified fishing person.
Oh, a fisherman. Where we come from, they're called fishermen. I just curious. I didn't know what a fisher was.
A woman and a man who fishes.
Got it.
Other discussion, please. Representative Boone, please.
I am a fisher. Woman. I would like to thank Senator Courtney and Representative Minnis and our governor and Representative Morgan and everybody who's had any part of doing this. This is a huge issue for my district. This is our spotted owl, and we're just extremely grateful for all the help that we've been giving in such a fast manner and getting it on board. And it's going to be this project is going to be great because it will provide some of the much needed research that will determine how these fish really do behave out in the ocean. So thank you all and appreciate it very much.
Mr. President, before you move further, I really want to get all that for our leadership, for you and Representative Manners working through these issues so collaboratively. I think that it certainly shows the ability for people on both sides of the aisle to work together and get the job done for Oregonians. So kudos to both of you.
Further discussion? Representative Smith, please.
Thank you. Colleagues, I think we're setting precedents with this initiative, and my heart goes out to the folks on the coast. The folks in my district have been where they are now. I know what it means to have an industry taken out from underneath you. I know the effect that has on Main Street. I know the effect it has on your schools. I know the effect it has on all the supporting industries. I'm going to vote yes on this because I want to make sure that we send a message that we care about the industry. But I truly think this is politics over good policy, and I don't think this is the right thing to do for the state of Oregon. I think if we're going to put ourselves in a position of assisting every industry that faces a significant economic downturn, then we as a state are going to be broke because we don't have the ability to financially step up and help every industry that faces a significant financial downturn. And so, again, while my heart truly goes out to these folks, I think this is bad precedence, and I think this is politics over good public policy.
Further discussion?
Thank you. I don't think we're setting precedents here because there was a lot of activity trying to help families of loggers and so on as that industry crumbled in Oregon. Maybe not enough. This seems to be a temporary issue where the federal government is shutting down fishing. And not only are the people who are fishing themselves, you know, severely affected by that, but the ports along the coast depend on the moorage fees to keep those ports up and running and the harbors. And by doing this, we're going to allow them, they'll have money to pay their mortgage, and so the whole big cycle of things. While it is devastating when an industry's hit, like logging has been in the past, hopefully this will be a temporary juncture here. They can't tell which salmon out in the ocean want to go to Klamath and which ones want to go up to Columbia, and that's the problem. And so until they can try and sort some of that out, I think this is a good thing for us to be doing. We need to help those people instead of having them all go bankrupt over 1 or 2 years. Thank you.
Representative Morgan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. There was significant discussion on this agenda item and also on agenda item 64, which is related to this issue. And I think that the point was made in the subcommittee that there are a significant number of rural legislators in this process that came to the process because of issues that we were facing in our districts that were very similar to this one. The issues that we're facing in our district, in my district, it's the spotted owl listing problems that were caused by the Endangered Species Act. As Representative Smith has so ably talked about, it's been devastating to our communities, and it's destroyed the Main Street businesses as well as the resource-based businesses in the area, and we're still trying to dig out from it. In the Klamath Basin, you see the same situation where you have folks in the agricultural industries down there that had the rug pulled out from under them when they lost the ability to irrigate their crops, and the Main Street businesses that faltered because of the loss of that economic vitality down there. Now you're seeing the same issue being played out again with coastal communities. These are not state issues. These are issues that are brought to us by federal law and by federal policy. And I very much agree with Representative Smith that the ultimate solution to these issues isn't within our venue to be able to solve. It would be, I think that as a body we would be derelict in our duty if we didn't do the kinds of things that we're doing today, but the kinds of things we're doing today in relation to the problem are stopgap and they're band-aids, and they're at very best short-term fixes to very broad, deep, long-term problems in the rural areas of the state. And I would not like us to walk away from this discussion today thinking that we'd actually solved anything, because we haven't. But I do appreciate the outreach that we've made on behalf of the coastal communities. The Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, the $2.2 million that's going to coastal communities is $2.2 million that the other watershed councils and soil and water conservation districts in the state won't have as part of their programs over the rest of this biennium and the next biennium. So truly, all of the people that would benefit from that in the state of Oregon are giving those resources to the coast. This is a huge issue in the rural areas of the state, and it's one that we need to work together, regardless of whether we're urban legislators or rural legislators or Democrat legislators or Republican legislators or independent legislators, and bring to the attention of the federal government. We need to work with our governor so that he isn't working at cross purposes with us, as he so often is. And we need to recognize that the rural people of Oregon are not going to be full participants economically or socially until we restore some ability for productive use of natural resources in the rural areas.
Further discussion? Objections? I have approved. Item 49, Department of Transportation, Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Education Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of a report on highway program ending cash balances. The legislature directed the Oregon Department of Transportation through a budget note to review projected ending balances and report to the emergency board during the interim on actions taken to ensure there is an appropriate ending balance. In its report, ODOT identified several strategies they are using to manage ending cash balances. A key issue is the sale of bonds to finance projects and project delivery processes. The subcommittee noted that the results of the actions being taken to manage cash balances and project delivery cannot be measured until sometime in the future. ODOT has only issued $970 million of the $2.4 billion in bonds authorized because the combination of current revenues and increases in federal revenues have not required the need for bond proceeds for the current rate that projects are being constructed and paid for. The bottom line is that future proposals for increases in revenues will be evaluated carefully in order to align the state's capacity to deliver projects with the reality of this experience. Your Education Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item 50, Department of Transportation, Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds expenditure limitation by $20 million for the Transportation Development Program and increase the other funds expenditure limitation for the Department of Aviation by $5 million for implementation of Senate Bill 71, with the understanding that the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule the limitation until the actual need for expenditure is demonstrated. The 2005 legislature authorized the issuance of lottery bonds to establish a multimodal transportation fund to finance loans and grants to public bodies and private entities for public transit, air, marine, and rail transportation projects. Overall, the Department of Transportation received 103 applications, totaling $235.4 million. The Transportation Commission is to make awards of grants and loans under the program at its meeting on July 19, 2006. The Department is requesting increases in other funds expenditure limitations of $20 million for the Transportation Development Program and $5 million on behalf of the Department of Aviation in anticipation of the bond sale scheduled for August 2006 and approval of grants and loans by the Oregon Transportation Commission in July 2006. Your Education Subcommittee recommends approval of the request with the understanding that the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule the funds.
Discussion?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Senator Gordley.
Thank you very much. During the legislative session, there was a considerable discussion about the need to improve participation of women and minority-owned businesses in these transportation projects. What I would like to request through the co-chairs is that we receive a report from the Department of Transportation that describes the utilization of women and minority-owned businesses in the transportation fund, and that the report be received as soon after the July 19th process of awarding grants and loans, as soon after that date as possible.
Thank you. Senator Devon?
Yeah,
Mr. Chairman, just a friendly amendment to that request, if I can. The grants, as my understanding, will be made from the state to various public agencies. Those public agencies will actually be the contracting agencies for the work that is done. So they will ultimately be making the decision about who receives the contracts. So you might want the report later from who the contracts are awarded, how each public agency awards those contracts.
I accept that friendly amendment. That's fine.
Thank you. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just very quickly, I need to declare a potential conflict of interest as I have a company that works with clients who have a direct relationship with Senate Bill 71.
Thank you. So the record? Is there a motion? All right. We have the motion before us. We're discussing the motion. Are there objections to this motion? All right. The motion prevails. We're back to the item in general. Further discussion? Objections? The item has been approved. We go to item number 55, Real Estate Agency, Senator Weston, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The subcommittee recommends that the emergency board increase the other fund's expenditure limitation by $767,780 and approve the extension of 30 existing positions for an additional month, 1.19 FTE, with the understanding that the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule $377,000 until more accurate detail on actual expenditures to date and estimated expenditures can be provided to DAS and LFO. The 2005 legislature approved a budget providing for an estimated 15 months of operating expenses pending a report to the emergency board by an interim legislative task force. The subcommittee recommendation provides expenditure limitations to accommodate the following: operations through the month of October, increases in the cost of background checks and testing services, administrative costs for the interim task force, the timing of payments for professional services and contracts, and temporary staff to maintain the current complement of licensing staff and ensure that the agency can continue to meet statutory deadlines for review of increasingly complex land development filings. The interim legislative task force is expected to complete its review and make recommendations regarding the agency operations in September 2006. The subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? I have approved. Item 56, Department of Administrative Services. Senator Carter, please.
Thank you. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board allocate $118,253,888 from the Special Purpose Appropriation, increase the other fund's expenditure limitation by $127,391,358, increase the federal fund's expenditure limitation by $31,466,352, and increase the lottery fund's expenditure limitation by $2,293,539 for state agencies to cover the cost of the 0507 salary and benefit package, with the understanding that the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule any savings that may occur once the benefit contracts are finalized for 2007. The Department of Administrative Services negotiates with unions for salary and benefit increases for represented employees and is responsible for setting the salary and benefit increases for non-represented employees. For 0507, DAS has negotiated a compensation package that, in general, includes a 2% cost of living adjustment in each of the 2 years of the biennium, increased health benefits cost, and an additional step increase for certain employees. The legislature determines how much, if any, funding will be set aside to pay for the cost of salary and benefit increases. During the regular session, $136 million general fund was included as part of the final negotiated budget. During the April 06 special session, the special purpose appropriation was reduced by $9 million, which was agreed to because it was clear that costs for the Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan rate and pension obligation bond payments were lower than had been estimated during the regular session. Approximately $2.7 million would be left in the special purpose appropriation, which may still need to be allocated at a future meeting of the emergency board, pending further information and analysis. If not allocated, the funds will become available for general purpose use in December 2006. Yes, subcommittee, appreciate your support.
Discussion?
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Cox,
just a quick comment here. I'm happy to report to the committee and to the audience that as a non-voting member of the Public Employees Benefit Board since 1999, the other day, we approved a renewal of a plan for all state employees, which is pretty close to 120,000, and their dependents, 120,000 people that we cover under this contract, with a single-digit rate increase of only 8%. And that is due in large part to the direction that the PEB board has been heading in terms of looking at best practices, outcomes, what really works, and making state employees and their dependents more aware of healthy issues. It's really nice to get into a single-digit increase in the health insurance mm-hmm. business because it's been a long time. So that will be helpful. It's just an interesting note for the future.
Thank you. Further discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item number 52, Department of Administrative Service, Representative Boone, please. 57.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds expenditure limitation by $5,885,490 for the purchase of fleet motor vehicles. In the DAS 2005-07 legislatively adopted budget, expenditure limitation was provided for the acquisition of 495 fleet vehicles in the first year of the biennium. DAS was instructed to return to the emergency board for additional expenditure limitation when second-year replacement needs were identified. DAS now plans to purchase an assortment of 381 fleet vehicles, almost all for permanent assignment to other state agencies. Total estimated cost of the vehicles is $7.6 million. DAS has existing expenditure limitation of $1.7 million for vehicle purchases that can be used for this purchase. The original amount budgeted for aggregate replacement costs was about 10% higher than ultimate replacement vehicle costs for the biennium. That excess expenditure limitation will now be used for this purchase, and DAS is requesting $5.9 million additional limitation to purchase the vehicles. Vehicle replacement criteria, practices, and schedules were thoroughly reviewed during the department's budget hearings. Factors considered include the average mileage standard of 110,000 miles, cost of future repairs and maintenance, and potential for additional assignment or use. With a fleet of 3,500 light-duty vehicles, about 25% are replaced each biennium, indicating an average useful life of about 8 years. DAS maintains detailed records, compiles extensive data, and conducts thorough analyses to ensure it has a well-managed, cost-effective vehicle replacement program. The new vehicles are needed to ensure that fleet vehicle costs are maintained at a cost-effective level. The General Government Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item number 58, Department of Administrative Services, Representative Hanna, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds expenditure limitation by $263,307 for data collection on ambulatory discharge services, with the understanding that the Budget and Management Division will unschedule the funds until the rule on fees is adopted. The Office for Oregon Health Policy and Research is required by law to compile and disseminate current data to improve the appropriate usage of health care services. The law gives OFER specific authority to collect hospital-based and ambulatory outpatient surgery discharge data and establish by rule a fee charged to each hospital or ambulatory surgery center not to exceed the level necessary to cover the cost of abstracting and compiling the data. In the past, OFER has collected utilization data about ambulatory surgery through an inexpensive annual survey process.
However, the data is aggregated and detailed analysis of ambulatory surgery is not possible. OPR has determined that additional data is necessary to fulfill its statutory responsibility in this area and plans to develop rules for assessing hospitals and ambulatory surgery centers for the expected data collection costs. After submission of the request, OPR continued to review expected costs and now believes it will cost less to collect the data than originally estimated. OPR now estimates the total cost to be $263,307. Once it has the funding, OPR can administratively establish limited duration positions for the remainder of this biennium, so your subcommittee does not believe approval of position authority is necessary. Additionally, we believe the funds should be unscheduled until the rule is adopted. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval.
Discussion? Objections? Item is approved. Item number 59, Department of Administrative Services. Representative Barker, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds expenditure limitation by $200,000 to develop evidence-based prescription educational programs for health care providers. The Office of the Oregon Health Policy and Research, OHPR, has been awarded a two-year $400,000 grant by the Department of Justice to develop and implement educational program on the use of evidence-based data on pharmaceutical products. The Attorney General awarded the grant from receipts from a national 2004 settlement with Warner Lambert for violating state consumer protection laws. The settlement funds are to be used for a, quote, consumer and prescriber education grant program, end quote. The Department of Justice has contracted with the Center for Evidence-Based Policy, Oregon Health Science University, to administer the grant contract. The education programs will be targeted to healthcare providers that prescribe pharmaceutical products to patients. The programs will be designed to educate healthcare professionals about pharmaceutical industry marketing practices and to provide strategies for assessing unbiased sources of information about pharmaceuticals. OHPR will partner with the Oregon State University School of Pharmacy to complete the terms of the grant. The grant term is to begin July 1, 2006, and OHPR is requesting the $200,000 other funds expenditure limitation for the first year's work under the grant. First year work will be directed to development of an education curriculum. The second year work is expected to be the education delivery teaching portion. Expenditure limitation for the second year will be reviewed as part of the department's 2007-09 budget request. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Discussion? Objection? Item approved. Number 61, item. Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Representative Smith, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds expenditure limitation by $500,000 for the administration and support program to conduct a review of the payment schedule for liquor agents, with the understanding that the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule the expenditure limitation until the actual amount required to complete the study is determined. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission was directed by a budget note to conduct a review of agent compensation. The review is to include recommendations for updating the payment schedule, along with income and other products sold in the stores, and to determine the actual cost of doing business. The budget note indicated the OLCC was to hire an independent contractor to complete the review. OLCC reported to the subcommittee that it was including stakeholders in crafting the request for proposals for the review.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Item is approved. Item 62, Department of Revenue. Representative Scott, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds expenditure limitation by $786,315 for tobacco tax compliance task force activities. Department of Revenue, Department of Justice, and the State Police are the three agencies that comprise the Tobacco Tax Compliance Task Force. Task force operations are financed by other funds from cigarette and other tobacco tax receipts. The Department of Revenue reimburses the other two agencies for task force costs. $538,000 of this request is to reimburse DOJ and OSP for their budgeted tobacco tax compliance task force activities. During budget development, the amount included in DOR's budget was less than the amount provided in the other two agencies.
agency budgets for task force, primarily based upon the personal services increase. Additionally, DOR is requesting $248,000 for costs related to pursuing collection of tobacco taxes due from Oregon consumers that purchase cigarettes through mail order or via the internet. Department of Revenue is receiving reports under the Federal Jenkins Act that identify sales to Oregon consumers or customers on which no Oregon tax has been paid. DOR has spent $88,000 to date on a pilot project that billed 7,500 customers and resulted in a collection of almost $700,000 of additional tax collections. Department of Revenue has information on an additional 23,000 transactions and estimates it will need an additional $160,000 to pursue collections of the taxes due on these transactions. The General Government Subcommittee recommends approval.
Discussion? Objection? Item approved. Item number 64, the Department of Agriculture Representative Morgan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board approve another funds expenditure limitation increase of $500,000 to expend funds from the Strategic Reserve Fund, establish a reservation in the General Purpose Emergency Fund for the Department of Agriculture in the amount of $500,000, and direct the department to return to the September 2006 meeting of the Emergency Board with a report consisting of the following elements: to an identification of additional funding that might be available from the Strategic Reserve Fund, a description of methods to be used in the determination of eligibility for direct cash assistance, the procedures for distributing financial assistance and assuring that the assistance is provided to those most in need, additional information on the extent of the financial need of the salmon fishing fleet, a description of the expected outcomes of the financial assistance programs, the methodology for determining to what extent those outcomes are achieved, and a description of the criteria that is used by the executive branch to make a determination for the provision of direct state assistance in the form of cash payments to members of an industry experiencing financial difficulties due to market or other economic conditions. Yesterday morning, the co-chairs of the Emergency Board authorized the addition of an item to the Emergency Board agenda following lengthy discussions between legislative leadership and the governor's office. The intent of the item was to provide additional state support to assist commercial salmon fishermen and women adversely affected by the federal government's curtailment and closure of the salmon fishing season on most of Oregon's coast. The subcommittee discussed at length the situation on the coast for the salmon fishing industry and heard from five legislators from the Coastal Caucus. The subcommittee also discussed the current financial status of the emergency fund and the potential liabilities the fund is facing. The subcommittee pointed out that the allocation of the reservation would be contingent on the status of the emergency fund in September after more is known about potential liabilities. The subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Discussion? Yes, Representative Boone.
And I'd just like to reiterate what I said before on item 648. Thank you very much. Thanks to the governor for stepping up and helping the people in my district and down the coast.
Further discussion, Representative, Senator Ben Westland, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I just want to say I think this is an example of not only the legislature, but Oregon State government at its best. I mean, they're very nimble, very responsive. I know there were some fits and starts to this, but I think Representative Boone and Krieger, Senator Verger, should certainly be recognized. Chair Morgan, for your work, because, you know, late as yesterday morning, you were getting pulled pillar to post on this, and I know the Speaker and the President, as well as the Governor, all worked tirelessly to make this happen and provide this very necessary assistance. It's not a solution, but it certainly provides meaningful relief
for some very hardworking Oregonians that, through no fault of their own, are being economically devastated by some federal policies. So, you know, many thanks, I think, from not just all of us behind this dais and the legislature, to Speaker Minnis, President Courtney, Governor Kulongoski, but for all Oregonians, I think we should all acknowledge and recognize that we really can do well and act quickly. So, thank you to everybody.
Thank you. Other discussion? Representative Morgan, please, yes.
Thank you very much. Some highlights of the discussion around this special agenda item. There was a great deal of concern in the committee that the money actually be targeted and used for the purposes that it was given for, and hence the rather exhaustive list of reporting requirements. So we made, I think, a very strong case that we wanted to make sure that the Department of Agriculture identified the people that needed this money and talked very carefully about the criteria that they were going to use to disperse it. And we were very interested and expected them to report back to us on that process. The other issue that was discussed, I think, that should not be minimized at all is the financial situation that we have with the emergency fund and the amount of the potential commitments against that fund. We had a long and significant discussion in the subcommittee about how the earmark for this will have to kind of be taken into consideration in the field of all of the obligations that potentially stand against the unallocated e-fund, and that we recognize that the situation in that regard will be somewhat clearer when we get to the September e-board, but there was a very cautionary note there about the potential for this actually to be awarded.
Thank you, Representative Moore. Further discussion? Objections? The item is approved with a finished or official agenda. I know Senator Frank Morris has a request that Mr. Rock, Senator Frank Morris, do you want to announce your request now? I'm going to have to turn the gavel over to the speaker. I'm going to have to run, but Senator Morris, I recognize you now.
Okay, thank you very much. At the end of the actions today, I think it would be helpful to refresh our understanding of the general fund, emergency fund remaining, the special purpose remaining, and contingent liabilities, and what that net balance may or may not be, just so we have a good grasp of where we stand.
Madam Chair, Senator Morris said, Teresa's passing out the balance sheet right now that shows, after the actions you've just taken, the remaining balance in the emergency fund. The general purpose emergency fund, if you do not count the reservations that you've made today, has $10.9 million remaining in it. There's $98.9 million remaining in the special purpose appropriations, and as you'll recall, $83.3 million of that is due to actions you took in special session that's being reserved for the next Department of Human Services rebalance plan coming up in, we anticipate, at the November-December meeting of the Emergency Board. We believe that due to your actions on the salary distribution today and a potential other salary pot that has not been allocated at this point, that in December you may have up to $12 million additionally available to the emergency board for general purpose uses from amounts remaining in special purpose appropriations that will not be needed. So it's somewhere between 10 and 12 and a half million that will become available. Right now we are estimating potential liabilities to the e-fund in the neighborhood of $25 to $30 million. Some of these can be put off perhaps to the next session, and many of them are due, the timing is not exactly known due to when a court will act or other cases like that. So right now we have a couple lawsuits pending. We have a reimbursement for Katrina expenses by the military department. We have legal expenses by the Department of Justice to fight, to litigate against the tobacco master settlement agreement issues. We have increased costs in Public Defense Services Commission that will need to be dealt with yet. We have the fire season coming up, and we also have a state police rebalance, and they've been affected by the recent decision in the Young case, and other agencies as well may be affected by that. So those are some of the issues that are still pending.
Thank you.
What is the Young case?
The Young case is several years ago when the legislature changed the law regarding hours, overtime work. There was a period of time where the law was not quite changed the right way. There was a loophole.
I remember that now.
Certain people filed for, people were eligible to file for pay for overtime work.
It was management.
All right, I remember that now.
Further discussion, Representative Boone.
That was my same question.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Further discussion.
On another subject.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to thank the Department of Administrative Services for their report, which you're going to get a copy of. It's an update on the hiring process for staff to work with the advocacy commissions. You'll recall the advocacy commissions have been in limbo for some period of time without staff to service their needs. With that said, I am aware that there is an angel among us celebrating an 81st birthday this week, and that angel is Phyllis Rand. Happy birthday, Phyllis. You're wonderful.
Any further discussion? With that, we are adjourned.